It is Thursday, January 7th, 2010. I'm Bill, and this is Where Icarus Flies. Happy New Year to everybody listening. I cannot believe it has been almost a month since my last podcast. What can I say? It just got busy. The holiday season, Joey and I had all these great plans for end of the year holiday shows, and the holiday season just came up and just bam, smacked us hard. I had a lot of guests come in. Turns out that Joey was out of town for a few days, so life itself just conspired against us, so we were not able to have a podcast for the last month. My parents came out and visited. It was a great time. It was great to see them, and they were barely gone. And then we had a whole other troop of folks come in. We had 9 people total staying in my house, and I don't have a very large house, so it was very interesting having us all packed in here. And if you saw my tweets, you'd know that I had to take my recording studio and turn it into a bedroom. So there was nothing that was going to be happening. So it's unfortunate. We had some big plans. Joey and I had practiced a duet of a favorite Christmas song that is just now going to have to wait till next year. Something to look forward to all year long. Well, it's good to be back. So let me get right at it and tell you what's on tap this week. So what are we going to be talking about this week? I can't believe how much stuff was jam-packed into the end of the year last year since my last podcast. We could easily spend a couple of shows on all the stuff that was going on. Not a good time for me to be off the air, huh? Well, anyway, I do want to fill you in on the holidays. So I want to talk a little bit about the holidays that just happened, as well as my outlook for 2010. I want to spend some time letting you know about a wonderful gift I received from my parents, Apple TV. I want to give you my first impressions and also let you know a little bit about some of the software I installed on it to actually enhance my Apple TV experience. Then I want to get into the major topic of this week, No Child Left Behind. I want to have a discussion about that law, what it means, my impressions of it, and let's take a look back now and say, is it really working? And what is really wrong with education here in the United States? Then we'll move on to the Hoover Report. Joey Hoover will be in the house ready to let you hear what he's been up to the end of the year, as well as give you some of his outlook on 2010. If we have time, I've got a special Masterworks Theater picked out. If not, we'll push that to next week. I know the last time I was on the air, I promised you the mailbag segment, and yes, that's going to come up, but I'm going to keep that scheduled to the end of the month, as always, so I'll have an extra amount of mail to go through this month, so that won't be for a couple of weeks. So if you do want to be on the mailbag segment, go ahead, leave a comment on the blog, and go ahead and send us an email at feedback@whereicarusflies.com. And that is what's on tap this week. So 2009 holiday season comes in. Actually, it was the tail end of the holiday season. For me, the holiday season starts in October. And I told you that Halloween was one of my new favorite holidays. So Halloween, roll into Thanksgiving, and then you have, for me, Christmas and New Year's. We don't celebrate Hanukkah in my house, but we do keep track of it because my new brother-in-law is Jewish and he celebrates Hanukkah. So we do also decorate the house with a menorah and we try to light the candles as you're supposed to. Although, to be honest, we're not very good about the candles. When Hanukkah and Christmas fall very close together and my brother-in-law is out here, he leads us through the candle lighting. So that's part of the holiday season for us as well. The holidays for me, when it comes to Christmas, of course, getting presents is wonderful. I like to get presents. Who doesn't, right? But honestly, the two things that I get the most enjoyment of are giving presents. And when you give a good, meaningful present, whether it costs a lot of money or it was something that you made yourself, doesn't matter the value of it in dollar amount for me, but was it a meaningful gift, and the look on the person's face and the happiness that they get is something that I really enjoy very, very much. And just getting family together. Now, I wasn't able to get both halves of my family together, my side of the family and my wife's side of the family at the same time, but I was able to see all of them within a few weeks of Christmas. So for me, that was the best part of the holiday season. If any of my relatives out there are listening, thank you so much for making the trek out here. It was a great time, as I said earlier. But let's get cut to the chase, right? The gifts. What happened? All right, so the big gifts this year in my house, for me, I already mentioned the Apple TV. I'm going to talk more about that in a few minutes. For the kids, you know, they got a bunch of Wii games, some games for the DS. My kids, I've got two young ones under 10, and their biggest gift so far, I mean, they're still into Lego world. They love Lego everything. So they got some Lego sets, and they thought those were awesome. I think, though, the surprising gift of the season was these Nerf guns. Now, we've had these Nerf dart guns for the last year or two, thanks to my brother-in-law, Chris, for starting that tradition. But it really took till this year to go up a notch to the next level. If you haven't taken a look at Nerf guns lately, take a look, because they make some mega freaking models here. To quote a great line from a wonderful Michael Keaton movie, Johnny Dangerously, Joe Piscopo, as he'd say, it's an 88 Magnum. It shoots through schools. That's right, by the way, I said marvelous Michael Keaton movie. Anyway, back to the Nerf guns. So we got a few Nerf guns this year, and they're like these semi-automatic rapid-fire dealios that can shoot all the way across the house. So my sister-in-law, Jackie, she would teach my two kids this code word, and when she'd yell the code word, they all just start blasting each other and everybody. And we got an extra 100 pack of darts, and I think total we must have over 300 freaking Nerf darts. I was picking these things up, you know, all of this past week as we were cleaning up the Christmas decorations. I had 7 stuck in the Christmas tree. My family likes to do crafts at the holidays, and they made these wonderful looking 3D snowflakes. They were quite awesome. If I remember, I'll put that up on the blog, the instructions, or a link to the instructions. Anyway, they were hanging down from the doorway from my living room into kind of the main part of the house. And at random times, those snowflakes were used as target practice with the Nerf guns. So the Nerf guns were the sleeper hit of the season. Thank you, Aunt Jackie. And Uncle Chris for starting that whole thing a couple of years ago. I'm not going to read through a laundry list of all the rest of my stuff, because I got lots of good stuff. What about New Year's resolutions for 2010? Well, I haven't always been very big with New Year's resolutions. I did make one last year. My big resolution last year was, for the entire year of 2009, I will not eat at McDonald's. I won't have anything from McDonald's. I didn't, take out all fast food. At the time, you know, probably by the second half of the year last year, well, maybe after the summer, right? So maybe it was like September through December. It was just easy. I was stopping at McDonald's on the way to work, grabbing, stuff to eat. And I just said, you know what? It's not going to happen. I want to give that up. So I did. And at the, it was probably the second or third week of December of 2008, I had my last McDonald's burger. And then for 2009, never once stopped in there. Not a once. So I was very happy with that. Have I had McDonald's here in 2010? The answer is yes. I treated myself to a double quarter pounder with cheese just the other day with my two sons. I took them out for lunch. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. McDonald's has never been the best burger around. For my money and my taste buds, the best fast food burger is by far the Weston Bacon Burger at Carl's Jr. In-N-Out, overrated. The burger is just above mediocre in my book, and the fries, throw them away. I don't know what the infatuation with In-N-Out is. In any case, Carl's Jr. is my favorite fast food burger. My favorite hamburger of all time by a restaurant is by the Britannia Arms. That bacon cheeseburger is phenomenal. I'm also quite partial to the burger they have over at Chili's. I like the chili barbecue burger there. It doesn't have chili on it, but they have some spices and things and this big thick piece of bacon. Man, it's good. I make some mean burgers here at the house myself as well. So that was 2009. I gave up McDonald's. 2010, I don't know about a true New Year's resolution, but one of my goals is to learn to play the guitar reasonably well, over the course of a year. My brother-in-law, bless him, I had this guitar my mom bought me, 17, 18 years ago, and I fiddled with it over the years, but never really got serious with it. Well, in the last couple of weeks, I've been serious. My brother-in-law, Jonah, took my guitar apart, put in new tuners, new strings, and thank you so much, Jonah, because it's inspired me. He plays the guitar very well, and I really want to work at it. So I've been working hard at this for the last couple of weeks. My fingertips are killing me, but I'm going to stick with it. And that is what I want out of 2010. So Apple TV is one of the topics of this week. I've been envious of Apple TV for a while now. A few of my friends have it, and I've seen it. So what is it? Well, I'll be the first to admit, it's a ploy. They want you to spend a couple hundred dollars on a box that you can plug into your TV so you can buy more stuff. So you actually have to spend a couple hundred dollars so you can buy things, right? I have to spend money to spend more money. Seems like a racket. And I understand that point of view. But you can turn it into much more than that. So it's a cute little box, right? This very low profile, sexy looking box that you can plug into your high def TV, right? So it's got an HDMI port out. It also has component out. And it has a digital audio out if you want to go to a different audio source. And with it, you can, without a computer, connect to basically the iTunes store and rent or purchase movies, television shows. You can subscribe to podcasts. You can buy music. You can get to YouTube because, you know, we all need YouTube on our frickin' TVs, don't we? Okay. No, that one doesn't excite me. And that's about it if you just have the Apple TV box. Now, if you also sync it up with or connect it to your computer, which is also on the network, you can get all of your photos. You can get your music. You can get anything from iTunes University you've downloaded, any podcasts you subscribe to. You can get any movies or television shows or music videos that you have in iTunes, and you can either sync it with your Apple TV or stream it over the network. And you can also attach multiple iTunes libraries to your Apple TV. So if you have, you know, more than one account or more than one computer with different iTunes accounts, that's kind of cool. But that's about it. So that's not bad. I like to be able to download a lot of those shows and whatnot. I have a different music system in my house. The Logitech squeeze box. So I don't need my music on my Apple TV, but I think part of the draw is that these days, if you have a nice TV, you probably very likely also have a nice sound system with the TV. So playing your music through your Apple TV to your music system in your living room is probably a good thing for many people. I don't need that, so that doesn't entice me too much. I see the potential goodness for being able to play photos on your Apple TV. I don't really care about that much. Although I will say that if you do load some photos on your Apple TV, when it goes to this screensaver mode, it shows the photos in this cool 3D kind of way. So that's kind of neat, but you know, I don't need that. I like it for movies. I like it for TV shows, right? As a bonus feature, because it's also on the internet, it connects to Apple's movie trailer site, so you can watch any movie trailer that you want. Now, some people could care less about movie trailers. Me, I am a movie trailer junkie, so I love watching the movie trailers. That's pretty cool. And, you know, iTunes has a very large library for you to buy and rent movies and television shows. So that's pretty cool. But you know what? I wanted more than that. So I did a little searching and I found some awesome software that you can install on your Apple TV without hacking it or without breaking a warranty or anything like that. It's not illegal. It's called ATV Flash. Okay, Apple TV Flash. ATV Flash is the name of the software. I think it's a little confusing because I've mentioned it to some other people and they think I'm talking about the Adobe Flash viewer player product. That's not what I'm talking about. What does ATV Flash bring to the table? Well, ATV Flash allows you to do a few things. You can go to the website and look at it. I'm not going to read off, you know, everything there is, but some of the things that compelled me, among others. The Apple TV has a USB port on it. At the moment, Apple doesn't let you use the USB port. You use ATV Flash, and you can connect external USB storage, right? I think my Apple TV has 160 gig drive, which so far is wonderful. I imagine one day I'll run out of space and want more. If I could have things on external storage plugged right into the Apple TV, that would be pretty awesome. You can also use an external keyboard or mouse, right? A USB keyboard or mouse with the Apple TV. Why would you want that? I'll get to that in a minute. So what else does ATV Flash bring you the ability to do? Well, it allows you to use your Apple TV as a web browser. You can browse the web right there on your TV. Now, web TV had this eons ago, and I gotta be honest, I could really care less about, for me, right, I could care less about surfing the web on my TV. I have a really nice computer for that. But what really excited me was the possibility of getting to sites like Hulu.com. If you haven't been to Hulu.com, well, first of all, where the heck have you been? But secondly, started by NBC and Fox, there's just oodles of shows on there, not just NBC and Fox anymore, that you can watch streamed live over the web. Yeah, they put some commercials in there, and I am all for that if I can watch it for free. You can watch clips. For me, it's you know, a bunch of Fox and NBC shows. You can get sci-fi channel shows on there and oodles more. Check it out. But if I could get that streamed to my TV through Apple TV, that right there for me is the killer app. And ATV Flash apparently allowed you, past tense, to do that. Apple released an update to Apple TV, and ATV Flash works with the new update, but the Adobe Flash that you need to watch sites like Hulu is currently broken. They're working on fixing it. I have no doubt that they'll have that up and running very soon. So being able to watch Hulu.com stream to my high-def TV, as I said, is the killer app. I love that. Because as much as, you know, I like iTunes, I don't currently like the pricing structure for television shows. You know what? They're fairly cheap, but you know what? I don't really care about owning television shows. Right now, we don't watch Heroes any longer. We gave up on the show, but supposedly it got better this season. I have a triple conflict on the night Heroes is on anyway, so I can't tape all of them on my DVR, so we gave up on it. Well, iTunes had a sale, so I did download the first 12 episodes of Heroes for $10. And it's been entertaining enough that I'd continue watching it, but I could watch it on Hulu.com for free. Hulu keeps usually the current and previous four episodes that played for these various series. So I could watch that within that time window on my Apple TV for free, and I wouldn't have to buy the dang episodes. I would think about it differently if on iTunes I could rent TV shows, right, for maybe 50 cents an episode or whatnot, because honestly, I only care about watching it once, and I'm done with it. I don't need to own it. Like, when I'm done with these Heroes, you know, I spent $10 on them, big deal. I'm going to just delete them, because I don't need them, and I don't want them. So I like to rent. I'm a renter guy. I don't buy a lot of movies, because honestly, I could just rent it again the next time I wanted to watch it. So ATV Flash allows you to, well, not today, but it will, once they fix it, allow you to do that. The other thing ATV Flash allows you to do is to connect to your Apple TV via FTP or secure FTP. So you can upload and download content yourself. It doesn't have to be just content in iTunes. And it allows your Apple TV to play other formats than just the Apple TV formatted shows. It can play DivX, it can play AVI, it can play Windows Media Files. Okay, so a whole host of content can be played. So I have a bunch of content in iTunes that it's synced over, and I have a bunch of content that I have from other places, right, that now I have uploaded onto my Apple TV. And the quality is wonderful. So this is a great, great investment, I think. The Apple TV plus ATV Flash. ATV Flash was another like $50. By the way, I'm not a shill. I'm not being endorsed or paid by ATV Flash, but it's a good product. And coupled with, you know, now the remote for Apple TV sucks. It really sucks. It's the normal little remote they give you for most of the Apple products if you get a laptop or whatnot, right? And Apple does a lot of things great. They make a lot of wonderful products. the remote stinks. If you have an iPhone or if you have an iPod Touch, you can download the free remote app from Apple. And the remote app is okay, right? It's just above being mediocre, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of things it should do that it doesn't. But it's better. With ATV Flash, I think you can get a third-party remote on there. I haven't looked into it. It hasn't been that important to me, but, you know, the remote is leaves something to be desired. But all in all, I think the Apple TV is wonderful. Add on the ATV Flash, and you have now an extraordinary piece of equipment. Yes, I know that you could build your own, and there's all kinds of other things you could do instead of the Apple TV, but for me, and my enjoyment, Apple TV has been wonderful. I give it a very high endorsement. I think that it's well worth it. Education reform. Never, never a happy subject. Healthcare reform could be more contentious. But education reform is up there. Back in 2002, President Bush signed into law the No Child Left Behind Act of 2001. Its full title is an act to close the achievement gap with accountability, flexibility, and choice so that no child is left behind. Who doesn't want that? I want accountability, I want flexibility, and I want to have choice. And I certainly don't want my two children left behind. So how could this be bad? Well, turns out the No Child Left Behind Act is nothing more than a pull on your heartstrings name to a pile of crap. It all began back in the early 80s when education reform was on the table, and there were publications such as A Nation at Risk, and there was a large conference put together, all the governors met, and they set standards for our nation to meet by the year 2000. So we moved into what we call a standards-based education system. We set standards, and we try to meet those standards. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, you know what? Done right, I honestly don't think that any of that sounds bad. I understand the need for standards, and I understand the need for testing. If there's a better way, I haven't thought of it yet, right? And I'm sure someday our education system will look dramatically different than today. But that's going to take a major overhaul. So we moved to this standards-based education system, and, you know, it doesn't work that well the way we have it implemented, because our education system is inherently broken. So we tried to fix this, and the No Child Left Behind Act had far-reaching bipartisan support. It was, you know, ballyhooed by the Bush administration, and I know that everybody likes to hate Bush, and I'm no fan of the guy, but the late Senator Ted Kennedy was one of the biggest supporters of this, and it garnered support on both sides of the aisle, both Democrats and Republicans alike, and everyone in between. So this passed rather easily. And unfortunately, the No Child Left Behind Act leaves plenty of children behind. A friend of mine, the other night we were talking about this, and I thought he summed it up very well. He said the No Child Left Behind Act does nothing more than create mediocrity. The high students aren't challenged. The low students are left behind. And the middle students, they stay in the middle. Wait a minute, how can we not leave those children behind? Well, I was reading an article by a woman named Linda Darling Hammond, and this was on the website The Nation, thenation.com, evaluating the No Child Left Behind Act. And there's a couple of sentences here that I thought were really good. She says, at its base, this law has misdefined the problem. It assumes that what schools need are more carrots and sticks rather than fundamental changes. It's a focus on testing rather than investing. I like that little play on words there. Again, a nice cutesy saying from the other side of the aisle, right? Focuses on testing rather than investing. Well, how many times have you heard they're only teaching to the test? Well, the supporters of No Child Left Behind and standard-based testing will tell you no, they don't. Teaching to the test is not important. All the test is an evaluation of, have you met the standards? Have the students met the standards? And if they haven't, the problem has to be with the teacher or with the school. Because the standards we've set, they certainly can happen. Well, what folks don't take into consideration that support things like No Child Left Behind is that, I'm sorry, not all children can meet those standards. Not all children are going to be at grade level. No Child Left Behind does not take into account things like disabilities. It does not take into account things like English is not my first language. So as a second language learner, my problem isn't with the material, the curriculum. The problem isn't with my ability. The problem is the language barrier, and that's going to be a challenge until that challenge is overcome. No Child Left Behind does not take that into consideration. No Child Left Behind does not take into consideration children from, you know, lower poverty areas that haven't had the best schooling. You know, if a school starts attracting more of the lower income families, which I think is a good thing, that in the beginning for a little while is going to bring down your test scores for that school. No Child Left Behind just looks at that school and says that school is now a failure, not that the student body now has a different makeup. And until we can help, and here in California, you know, a lot of the lower income families are Hispanic. And I don't mean to say, to imply that that means they're not capable. That's certainly not the case at all. What I'm saying is that, and many of them come from second language learner homes. So it's not the low-income family's ability. It's not that they are not capable. It's, again, that language barrier. And until that's overcome, that's going to bring down test scores. No Child Left Behind doesn't take that into consideration. Let's face it, some students just aren't capable. They're not able to hit those standards. Not everybody is as capable as the top students. That's just a fact. Now, I'm not saying that we need to give up on the bottom students. You know, the bottom students, not in terms of testing, but in terms of ability and capability level, right? Some would say intelligence level. Are there some dumb students out there? Sure there are. There are dumb people, right? Let's not pretend they don't exist. Let's embrace that and let's invest in them as well. Education should not just be for the privileged or the smart. It should be for all. And if you're not capable of hitting those standards, that doesn't mean we leave you behind. But leaving you behind doesn't mean that we try to get you to achieve a standard level that you're not capable of. No Child Left Behind doesn't take that into consideration. Now, I'm not saying that. So what do we have before standard-based education system, right? It was a more traditional education system, right? There were still assessments. There were still tests, right? There was a lot of direct instruction, lectures, a lot of seat works. Students led primarily through listening and observation. Very little group activities. Students were matched by age, possibly by ability, and everybody in the classroom was taught the same material. When I was young and growing up, right, we broke into different levels of classes, right? You had the high math class and the middle math class and the low math class, right? And that happened in many, many subjects, mostly math and reading. But other subjects as well. That's pretty much a no-no these days, right? I mean, you can't group children by ability because why? Well, because the folks in the low class get that stigma of, you know, being the dumb kids. Now, I don't want that to happen either, right? But let's face it, the low kids need to be taught differently, right? The high kids need to be challenged more. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say it that way, right? Because all of the children, whether you're in the high, middle, or low group, you all need to be challenged more. But the challenge for the low group is not the same challenge that I would give to my high group. And that's the point I'm trying to make. So worrying about this stigma, I think, is silly. But there are other ways we can do it. There are alternate approaches. And I know some schools that are trying to employ some of these. Right? What we'd call more progressive emphasis would be more hands-on activities. Right? I mean, lecture is going to happen. That needs to happen. A teacher needs to try to get up there and tell you what they know, what you need to learn. But let's add more hands-on activities. Let's introduce more student-led discoveries and more group activities. Instead of instruction solely based on textbooks and lectures and individual written assignments, let's have some more project-based instruction, working in small groups to come up with solutions. Instead of having a lot of individual, independent subjects, today we're learning this in science, today we're learning this other thing in math, today we're learning this other thing in reading, right? Let's have more integrated subjects. Maybe my math, my science, my reading lesson for this week is all based on the same units. Maybe we're reading a story, and maybe in math, you know, we do something related to that story, and in science, we do something related to that story. Maybe it doesn't always work out, right? Maybe you can't integrate your subjects every single day of the year. I get that, but I think we could try to do it more. Let's tie our subject matter together. You know, today's system has very little attention to the social development of our children. Let's build that into our schools. I'm very involved with the Boy Scouts of America, and right now my two sons are in Cub Scouts. And we like to try to focus some of our time on social development. teamwork, working on interpersonal relationships, self-awareness, leadership. Let's integrate that into our classroom as well. Again, we can't necessarily work on all of these things every single day. But if we have an integrated curriculum where you just don't have separate pieces, but everything fits together, so that at the end of the year, you had a journey through education, hitting all the standards and having realistic evaluation. Now, again, I just use the word standards. I'm not against having standards, but let's look at it realistically. What can we do in the course of a year? And when we evaluate those standards, what does it really mean? Let's not look for reasons to punish our schools or punish our teachers. This shouldn't be punitive. We should say, okay, this isn't working. Let's fix it. Let's tweak it. Or maybe this isn't working for this particular group of students, and there are ways within the system we can work on that. If I have students that are not making the grade, what can I do? What's the problem? Let's look at figuring out what the problem is and not just punishing. I don't think it's bad to mix grade levels in some instances. I know there are schools that, you know, maybe in this science class, I've got fourth and fifth graders, and maybe even some third graders, some high third graders. There are ways that that can work as well. I'm not saying it needs to last the whole year. Maybe it's for a certain lesson. I don't know. But helping students get the most out of the curriculum and the education is what our goal should be. Not figuring out ways to punish students, teachers, and schools. The facts are, and I don't have 2009 stats in front of me, I don't think they're out yet, but the facts are that from 2000 to 2003, and No Child Left Behind did not go into effect until 2003, from 2000 to 2003, there was a larger jump in our nation's math and reading scores than there have been from 2003 to 2008. During the No Child Left Behind Act. We saddle our teachers with an unwinnable job, and then we punish them when it doesn't get done. This is not an education system that is there to help us. There are 24 states that have filed various lawsuits against the federal government because of different aspects of the No Child Left Behind Act that just don't work. We need education reform in this country. I am not in favor of anything that punishes teachers for low test scores. That's not the way to handle the situation. I'm a fan of Obama, but his stance on education, we are opposite. I don't believe that what Congress and the president are currently looking at is going to fix education at all. It's just going to make the problem worse. What we're in need of is a real overhaul. And we need someone that understands that and someone that has the ability to make that change happen. And right now, for what I see at our higher levels of government, that's not going to be today. So what can you do? Well, you can write your representatives. You can let your school board know what you think. And for those of you with children in the K through 12 area, take an interest in their schoolwork. Understand what the standards are. Until true education reform becomes important in this country, no significant improvements will be made. It'll just be Band-Aids. It's time now for the Hoover Report, and I saw Joey loitering out there. Hey, Joey, come on in here, bud.
Hey, what up?
Hey, good to see you, man.
Hey.
Let me get my stuff on here. Hey, Bill, how you doing? I'm doing good. We had a great holiday season,
oh,
didn't
yeah.
we? I saw you a couple times.
Yeah, it was good. Thank you for having me over on Christmas.
Oh, no problem.
And, I got to hang with you a few times, so that was a lot of fun for me. So thanks very much there, Bill.
Yeah, no worries, dude. That was good. One of the good times that I had was sitting with you to watch the Winter Classic.
Oh, yeah. That was a great time. A good Bruins victory.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Hockey at the Fenway Park, America's ballpark. I got to tell you, whoever came up with the idea to have hockey outside there for the NHL was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, by far.
It's just wonderful. A great game last year in Chicago and then in Buffalo the year before. It's a big hit, and I think this is going to stay for quite a long time.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think this is a great time, and it was awesome, especially for you and I, right? Because we got to see the Bruins in, a great end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
In overtime.
It was
awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome there. And, a former San Jose Shark there, Marco Sturm, gets the goal. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. All right, well, we better get you to it. So without further ado, I give you Joey Hoover.
All right, Bill. Hey, thank you very much. So much has happened since our last show there that I could have made the Hoover Report, half the show. So it was really hard to pick some of the top things that I thought really sucked since our last time on.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, but I'll give it a shot here. Demi Moore, yeah. Right?
Of course I know Demi Moore.
Demi Moore.
Yes, Demi Moore, yes.
All right.
Sometimes I don't know what's wrong with you. All right, go ahead.
All right, well, anyway, back in November, she was on the cover of W Magazine, and I happened to see this article back then about on the Boing Boing, which is a great place to catch up on what's going on out there. One of the places in my repertoire, as you would say.
Oh, I know all about your repertoire. Yes.
Anyway, it was an article they wrote on Boing Boing about, they're really quoting someone else, really, and posing a question as to, there was the cover there. It looked like a part of her left thigh was missing.
Oh, yeah,
I saw
that.
I thought it was kind of interesting because, I like to see, crazy Photoshop stuff out there. And I think we all know that anybody on the cover of a magazine is getting retouched,
oh,
right?
Seriously.
Come on. Well, anyway, I didn't think much of it until right at the end of December there. Boing Boing posted some more articles on how Demi Moore and her lawyers were giving them a nasty legal letters for them to pull down the article and that they were defaming her.
Defaming? What? Yeah,
defaming. They were hurting her and she was losing fame. Defaming.
No, it's defamation.
What?
True.
Defamation?
Oh, go on.
All right, whatever. Well, so they were pissed off. How's about that, huh? Then they sent nasty letters and, so Boing Boing responded on how, they were just wacko crazy and it became this big thing, this big thing. And if you read the original article anyway, nobody said anything bad about Demi Moore.
Huh.
It was all about, why the heck would W Magazine screw that up? So go look. It's on Boing Boing. I'm sure you can, use the Google on there.
The Google.
But Demi Moore and your lawyers, you suck. Yeah, now on to the last game of the regular season for the Patriots. Wes Welker.
Oh, man.
Just making a cut on the field. No one really near him. Didn't take a bad hit or nothing like that. But in the middle of that turn there, he tore his ACL and MCL.
Oh, it was awful.
And now we'll be out for probably 4 to 6 months.
Gosh.
Definitely for the playoffs. Losing Wes Welker on an already suspect Patriots team this season.
Yo, no kidding.
Oh, that sucks.
You know, but that Edelman guy, he looks, you know, let's hope that he can step up his game.
Oh, yeah.
He looks okay.
Yeah, he does. And no, he's no Wes Welker, but he looks like he could be good in the pinch. Let's hope he can step that up there. All right, now on to Mariah Carey. You know, if anybody hasn't seen on YouTube or someplace there, her acceptance speech.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
You know, that gig in Florida.
Palm Springs International Film Festival.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Anyway, you know, she was totally wasted there.
She's so
And then the next night at the, did you see last night on the People's Choice Awards?
I didn't watch it all, but I caught that one.
You know, I think she was sober, but this dress she wore, you know, she couldn't even walk in it without help. I mean, come on, who does that? Mariah Carey, you and your antics, you suck. By the way, did you see that the egregiousness of the proposal winning best comedy over The Hangover?
Oh, give me a break.
I mean, come on.
It's unbelievable.
That's crazy talk.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that one of our buddies, Kevin Crossman, there. He said, you know, and especially since one of the main ingredients of a comedy is laughs, and the proposal was missing lots of laughs. So, you know what? That sucks. I got a couple more, right?
All right, go for it.
All right, I know you saw Avatar, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, well, I thought it was excellent. It was quite wonderful. It was worth the hype, in my opinion.
I agree, and I went in there really, you know, thinking it wasn't going to be very good.
Oh, yeah,
I had
same
no
here.
Expectations.
Oh, yeah.
It was excellent. Excellent. So, yeah, what about it?
Well, as good as it was, and I know this has nothing to do just with Avatar, but I saw the 3D showing.
Oh, yeah, so did
and
I.
And as much as I think that the 3D is getting pretty good there, come on. What's up with that extra $3
seriously,
from my pocket just to see it in 3D? That 3D movie fee. Oh, yeah. That sucks.
I agree with you there, buddy.
Yeah. Well, as we're still in the topic of movies, you know, I love my popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
I love to get a large Diet Coke, and I mix in a little bit of the cherry Coke.
Oh, yeah, you turned me on to that. Yeah.
But I also like my Sour Patch Kids, as I know that you know, right?
I know how much you love Sour Patch Kids, so what about them?
Well, you know, while we were there at Avatar, I got a box of the Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, yeah,
and
I saw that.
In the middle of the movie there, I'm ready to have a little bit of Sour Patch action, and they were stale. I mean, come on, who gives you stale Sour Patch Kids? That is unconscionable, is what I would say if I worked there. And, you know, so the movie theater I was at and getting Sour Patch Kids that are stale, that sucks. And that is the Hoover Report for this week. All right. Hey, I got to get going. I got some things I got to do.
Hey,
so I'll see you around.
No worries,
hey,
man.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, Joey. And that was Joey Hoover. Well, that's our show for this week. It's great to be back. It was great having Joey in the studio. Got a lot of things covered today. There's so much more we could have. Don't worry, I promised you mailbag. It'll be up at the end of the month. If you have any comments on the show or tips or, you know, just want to say hi, you can send your email to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. You'll notice that the blog was neglected over the holiday season as well. Don't worry, I'm going to be back on that now that the new year has begun. So check out the blog at whereicarusflies.com. You can follow me on Twitter. Look for Where If. So for my pal Joey, this is Bill saying thanks for joining us. Where Icarus Flies.
WhereIcarusFlies.com provides this podcast for your personal enjoyment, information, education, and communication. This podcast is copyright 2009 by WhereIcarusFlies.com. You may not distribute, modify, transmit, reuse, repost, or use the content of this podcast for commercial purposes without the expressed written permission of WhereIcarusFlies.com. Requests for permission to republish or to copy and distribute can be obtained by sending an email to media@whereicarusflies.com. Thank you. Have a great day.